Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. We're sponsored by the Law Hour of Pelham, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food irradiation when we come back. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weight, the great and the small." He said, "You shall not have in your house diverse measures, the great and the small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed this scriptural principle of law when they put into our federal constitution. At Article 1, Section 10, it says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, Franklin Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation, and in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, the second, and the fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of my many lessons in the business school conducted twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. And best of all, it's free of charge. That's right, it's gratis, it's free. You can call right now to order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. Now, the business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can just go to the website, georgegordon.org, if you feel more comfortable doing that. Just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, send an email request. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about labeling. Food irradiation. You're supposed to have labels on the packages. And you may or you may not, but you want to remember that the objective here is to deceive you. We don't want you to know that the food in this package has been irradiated, and that's why we don't like labeling. And that's why the industry always pressures the Congress or the legislature to do away with the labeling requirements, or to disguise the labeling requirements, or to put the labeling requirement in fine print so that you can't find it and can't see it. But we learned last time, if the word organic is on the package, it cannot be GMO. That's genetically modified organisms. You know, that's the stuff that comes from Monsanto. Or it can't be, neither can it be irradiated. So when you see the organic label, you can be pretty sure that it's going to be, you know, better. It may not be clean and wholesome, but it'll be better than irradiated or genetically modified. Now, if it doesn't say organic on there, then it's up for grabs. And as we found out last time, there are more and more foods, categories of foods, that are now being approved by the FDA and the Department of Agriculture for irradiation. We've already discussed the toxic effects and the free radicals and how bad the stuff is for you. Now the question is, well, how do you avoid it? So last time I mentioned, well, here's the way to buy the stuff direct at the best possible price so that you can avoid paying full bore retail at the health food store. Now, you know, if you're only buying 5 or 10 pounds of meat a year, or maybe it's 50 pounds a year, maybe paying full bore retail makes a lot of sense. But if you've got a bunch of kids and you live on Long Island and you've got a bunch of people that you're feeding, it costs a lot of money to buy all of that food at the grocery store. So if you were to go out and buy from the producers direct and then process the meat and put it in your freezer, we found, you know, years ago when I was a kid, that's the way we used to buy meat. My dad would go out and buy a steer, typically from a dairy farmer out in Lolita or Ferndale. And I was raised in the era before we had refrigeration. So you killed the animal, and you put him in the ice house downtown in Eureka, California. They had an ice house down there. That's what they called it. And everybody had a locker. I guess they called it the locker house. And you had a locker down there, and you'd get various size lockers. And you know, I can remember as a little kid, you'd walk into this big, humongous building, and you walked behind these humongous doors that slammed behind you and it was bitterly cold, and you'd walk in there, and of course you had a lock on your locker, and so you took the key out and you unlocked it and you pulled your drawer out and you took whatever meat that you wanted in your locker out and you pushed it back in, put your padlock back on it, and you walk out with your packages of meat and took it home. That's the way we used to do it in the old days. Now today, most people have a freezer in their house, or they'll have a big refrigerator that has a freezer on the side. So I gave you a couple of pointers. If you buy a whole cow, it's going to take just about a whole freezer. Those 500-pound freezers, those 2-foot by 5-foot chest type freezers, will hold one cow. That's about what they fit. And you'll have a little room left over at the top. Then last time we got into this thing of labeling in a serious way, and here's an article on labeling. Here's what they're supposed to do. They don't, but they're supposed to. So the background and the status of labeling on this irradiated food works like this. All irradiated foods must be labeled, and they have to use that Radura and some wording, but only to the first purchaser, who is often not the consumer. And that's where the Achilles heel is in this whole process. So when they irradiate the food, they put it in a box and then they sell it to McDonald's. McDonald's does not have to tell you that the food that they're serving you is irradiated. If you're in a hospital, nursing home, or a whole host and plethora of places, they don't have to tell you anything about it. Now, if you're in the school lunch program, I said, let's figure out a solution. Instead of sitting there and saying, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, certainly, there's no big problem there. I ate in the school cafeteria once or twice. And it was Pukesville. And I think any kid would tell you that. The school lunch program is Pukesville. The stuff is so vile it would gag a maggot. And so you make your kid eat in the cafeteria. He'll pack him a lunch. Pack his lunch for him. But now the consumer should be able to see the wording and the Radura on plant food sold in their whole form in a package. For example, the bag of wheat flour or oranges that you buy. Fresh whole fruits and vegetables on the fruit, the box, or the display. Whole meat and poultry in a package like chicken breasts. Unpackaged meat and poultry like from a butcher. Display label. Irradiated meat and poultry that are part of another package like irradiated chicken in a frozen chicken pot pie. Now, consumers will not see the wording for the Radura for irradiated ingredients in foods prepared or served by restaurants and salad bars. You're not going to see it there. If it's served in a hotel, airline, hospital, school, nursing home, etc., you're not going to see anything. Irradiated foods that are prepared by the deli or the supermarket takeout counter. So when you get into the Walmart delicatessen, you don't know if they've got it irradiated or not. Spices and herb teas, sprouts grown from irradiated seeds, ingredients and supplements, plant food ingredients that are processed, again, like apples and applesauce or papaya and salad bar salad. So you could be buying applesauce, and when the irradiated apples reach the guy that's going to make the applesauce, he gets the warning, he gets the label. He processes it into applesauce. He doesn't have to tell you that these apples were irradiated before I converted that into applesauce, and that's what your problem. See, if it doesn't say organic on the package, in fact, why don't you think about it in terms like this? If you can't buy organic, why don't you leave it alone? 12% of Americans now buy organic. That's what we want. That's what we're shopping for, and that's what we're paying for, and we pay a premium to get that. But on the other hand, we're paying a premium not to get irradiated, and we're not getting GMOs, and we're not getting pesticides, and we're not getting chemical fertilizers, and that's why we're paying a little premium for that. We buy better food, 12% of us do. That's the population now in this country. That's 36 million people, by the way. That's a pretty sizable chunk of the market. In fact, it's such a sizable chunk of the market, and it's growing by about 20% a year, that Kraft and General Mills and the other big food processors are buying into the organic program. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I've done a couple of reports here, and they've already gone to Congress and said, well, we would like you to water down this organic program. If we got 5% inorganic in with the organic, we want you to pass legislation and allow us to put it in, even though it's 5% polluted. It's almost like saying, well, gee, you know, most of our product is good. It's only got 1% feces in it, or 2% or 5%. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys that wants pure food. I'm kind of a nut that way. When I buy something, I just want 100% of what I'm buying, and I don't want anything added or subtracted from it. Well, there's another 35,999,999 people out there that are just like me, and it's a pretty sizable and a growing market out there, and the objective is to trick us. They want to fool us into buying their products, and they know that if they label it, we won't buy it. So they have to go to the legislatures and get legislation enacted so that they don't have to tell us what's in the package. So that means that we've got to be a little smarter than the average corporate executive and the average legislator and figure out what these guys are doing to us and then avoid it. That's the way that game has to be played. Labels are required from the irradiation facility to the first purchaser, such as the supplement manufacturer, the hospital kitchen, the restaurant that makes the salad. When labeling is required at the consumer level, there must be wording either treated with irradiation or treated by irradiation. For packaged foods, the wording does not need to be bigger than the smallest type on the ingredient label or in any special colors or typeface. For bulk fruits or vegetables, the words must appear on a card or display or on each piece of food, but no size is specified and there's no enforcement. In the summer of 2002, Congress created a loophole long sought by the meat and poultry industries. Companies that wish to use a term not approved by the FDA, like electronically pasteurized, is on the label, can go over to the FDA's head man, petition the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and the Secretary can then allow them to use that term. All right, so we're coming up to cold pasteurization or electronic pasteurized or electronic pasteurization. Well, now let's learn a lesson here. Anytime something is pasteurized, it isn't fit for human consumption. In fact, I wouldn't feed it to my dog either. There's no point in killing your dog or your cat. Most of you people out there are far more concerned about your dogs and cats than you are about your children. So let's look at it in terms of, well, would you feed this to your dog? And if you wouldn't feed this to your dog, it probably isn't any better for your kid. Now, there's a test for you. So I wouldn't feed pasteurized milk to my dog because it does the same thing to the dog that it does to the people. It clogs up their veins and arteries. It destroys the enzyme in the milk, and you have to have that enzyme to digest the milk, and that's why you people are lactose intolerant. You can't drink pasteurized milk or eat pasteurized products. So all of the stuff that's in the dairy case at the supermarket isn't fit for human consumption. See how simple that is? Now, we used to be able to buy some cheeses that were not pasteurized, but then, you know, they got in on that and they said, well, there's too many of these health food nuts buying this unpasteurized cheese. And when they do that, it leaves a loophole. They'll buy the unpasteurized cheese and then they won't buy the pasteurized cheese. So what we'll do is we'll pasteurize all of it so they don't have any choice. They have to buy pasteurized cheese. We don't care what kind of pasteurized cheese you buy as long as it's pasteurized. And so now they're coming up with this word, pasteurized, because see, everybody's used to the word pasteurized. And you're not fearful and timid of pasteurized. You know, you eat pasteurized cheese and pasteurized milk, and that's fine. So now you're willing to eat pasteurized meat and poultry and pasteurized, and they'll just use the word cold pasteurized on there. Pasteurized means it has to be heated. So when it's cold pasteurized, it's irradiated. See how simple that is? So they're using a word that is designed to confuse you, designed to deceive you. In other words, we want to lie to you, but we want to do it with the blessing of the legislature, and so we're going to use the words that we choose that you don't know what the meanings are. So when labeling is required at the consumer level, there must be wording, and the wording over there can be very deceptive, so you want to jot that down. It's electronic pasteurization or cold pasteurization. The USDA consumer labeling requirements for meat and poultry are the same as the FDA requirements with the following differences. Multi-ingredient products that include an irradiated meat product must reflect its inclusion in the ingredient statement on the finished product's label. This is the major difference from the FDA's requirements for processed non-meat products, which do not have to be labeled to the consumer at all. So if you've got processed non-meat products, they don't have to be labeled. They don't have to tell you that the wheat in this pasta has been irradiated. And that's why you always want to be looking for the organic label. If it says organic, that solves your problem. If it doesn't say organic, the problem is there. Now, packaged meat products, irradiated in their entirety, must either include the word irradiated as part of the product name. This option is not allowed for plant foods. Or they must bear a statement such as treated with radiation or treated by irradiation. Unpackaged meat products, irradiated in their entirety, are required to have the Radura symbol and a statement prominently and conspicuously displayed to purchasers, either through labeling on a bulk container or some other appropriate device. The USDA does not define what this other appropriate device could be. And the USDA allows claims regarding the beneficial effects and the purpose of irradiation, like treated to kill salmonella. The FDA does not allow these claims for the foods that it regulates. All right, now. If you saw the words on a package that says beneficial effects or treated to kill salmonella, that'll tell you the answer to that. Now remember, salmonella is a bacteria that you can kill by cooking. First of all, you can't get rid of all of the salmonella anyway. It's going to be there. If your immune system is working, it'll destroy the salmonella in your body. If your immune system is compromised to some degree and it wouldn't kill the salmonella or can't get ahead of it, then the cooking does it. Now, the reason the salmonella is there is because of the feces. There's been a crossover between the guts. You know, you kill a cow, and you got to be careful when you're eviscerating this cow that you do not cut the stomach paunch or the intestines. You know, we try to be very careful when we do that. If you do, you have to immediately wash it off, flood the area with water, and wash that off of there. You know, to wash the salmonella, wash the feces off of any meat that it gets on. Now, one of the things that I've noticed is that as an old-timey dairyman, the dairy inspector used to come by, and God, he'd just get real excited about hair on a cow's udder or about washing the cow's udders and one thing and another. You know, Jesus made an observation one time. He says, it isn't what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. So a little dirt or a little manure that gets into your mouth isn't necessarily fatal, but there are some feces that are pretty damn toxic. And the single most toxic feces is human, followed by pork, followed by bear, and other unclean animals like dogs and cats and so on. These are unclean animals, and the feces that come out of them is really toxic stuff. Now, by comparison, the feces that comes out of cows, sheep, and goats is not toxic. I mean, we're not talking about the kind of organisms and that kind of feces that we talk about coming out of dogs and parasites out of cats and so on. That's why God has divided up these animals into clean and unclean. So if you're going to eat dog and cat, boy, that's pretty raucous stuff. If you're going to eat pork, that's pretty tough stuff to eat. It's filled with parasites. I covered that with you here a week or two ago. And it's got all kinds of other nasties in there, like salmonella and food poisoning. But the irradiation is designed to kill that. And I guess that makes all the sense in the world if you stop and think about it. I mean, after all, if we're going to eat pig, let's kill the trichinosis that's in the pig meat. And let's trade the trichinosis for cancer. You know, it's kind of a wild trade-off in my view. I come to the conclusion, I don't want the trichinosis and I don't want the cancer. Let's stay away from irradiation. Let's stay away from pig. Makes more sense to me. But then it's a choice that you have to make. So, you know, if you're going to eat pig, maybe irradiated pig makes more sense. I wouldn't argue with that. Now they go on to tell you that they've got a codex requirement up here. So the Codex Alimentarius is the international standard for world trade in food. And what it says is very important. Because a country that requires different labels from the codex requirements cannot keep out food from other countries that's labeled according to the codex requirements. So at this time, the FDA required irradiation policy does not match codex requirements, which are stronger. So the standards that we use in the United States are poorer, weaker standards than the international standards. So if the U.S. stops requiring labels under world trade rules, other countries will not be able to exclude unlabeled U.S. imports because the other country's labeling policy is an import barrier. Therefore, there will be a conflict between the U.S. FDA policy of unlabeled exports and the Codex requirements. Well, it just so happens that the chairman of Codex is Tom Billy, the man at the USDA in charge of deregulating the meat industry and introducing irradiation. So put your money on the Codex lowering its labeling requirements to match whatever final labeling policy the FDA comes up with in 2001 and 2002. See why the FDA labeling policy is so important. All right, it's already been done. They've adopted the lower labeling policy, and that's why I'm on the air telling you that you got to watch out for it, because the objective here is to deceive you and to trick you into eating irradiated food. Let's put it this way. If irradiation is such a good program and it is so beneficial, then you would want to put that label out there and say, look, our product is kosher. You know, if you want to sell something to a Jew, you got to put kosher on the package. And so when you see kosher on a package, then that sends a signal to you that the food that's in this package is fit for us to eat. So when you see kosher on a package, you know, you can just about bet that that's good to eat. Now, if irradiation was as good as kosher, you'd think they'd want to put that on the package and say, hey, irradiated, buy this, it's irradiated. So you don't have to tell me to buy kosher because when I see it's kosher. You don't have to tell me to buy organic. When I see the organic label on there, then I know that I can eat that. So when somebody says to me, we want to hide this product, we want to hide the fact that it's irradiated, then that sends a signal to me that, well, this stuff probably isn't as good as it could be. In fact, this stuff probably isn't fit for your dog. Now, you wouldn't want to harm your dog. And irradiated food is not something you'd want to feed to your dog. Well, I wouldn't feed it to my dog. And I'm not an animal rights activist by any stretch of the imagination. And even I, who would shoot a dog in a heartbeat, for all of you people out there aghast, if a stray dog walks across my farm, I shoot it on sight. So I'm not an animal activist. But I wouldn't feed irradiated food to that same dog that I'd shoot. I'd put the dog out of his misery, but I wouldn't torture him. I'm opposed to torture. So now you can just about figure if they're hiding irradiation and they're hiding the labeling from you, they don't want you to know what's in there. If they don't want you to know what's in there, it probably isn't good for you. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Now, in the following three ways, Codex requirements differ from the current USDA and FDA regulations for the Codex. And it works like this. A text statement is required, and the use of the Redura is optional. When an irradiated product is used as an ingredient in another food, this shall be so declared in the list of ingredients. When a single ingredient product is prepared from a raw material which has been irradiated, the label of the product shall contain a statement indicating the treatment. Okay, a little higher standards. Now, if I went into a health food store and I picked up a package of cookies, and on the package of cookies it said, made from wheat flour irradiated, I wouldn't buy the cookies. And anybody in a health food store knows that. And so the health food store guy knows that the people that shop in health food stores and pay a premium price to get organic foods, they rely upon that health food store. And let me tell you, the first time I walk into a health food store and I pick up a package that's got irradiated product in it, well, I'm really going to be suspicious of that health food store and of the manager of the store. So anytime we find something wrong with a food product, we immediately bring it to the store owner's attention. You know, we say, listen, did you know that this product has hydrolyzed or hydrogenated vegetable oil in it? Did you know that this product over here, And you know, that guy will eliminate that. He wants to make sure that his customers are happy and satisfied. And health food people, people that are interested in health food, that 36 million people that spend the money and pay that extra premium to get that food with the organic label on there, we don't want irradiated. Now, we're the same people that from time to time go into Walmart and other stores over here, and they're hiding that from us, and so that ought to send us a signal, shouldn't it, boys and girls? I know you're sitting there saying, well, only a nitwit would go into Kroger's to start with. Now, come on, be honest. Even you go into Walmart and Kroger's once in a while. And so the reason for bringing this to your attention is that when you walk in there, don't let them beguile you. When you see the word cold pasteurization on there, that'll send you a signal. Now, typically, you can ask the waitress, you know, does this dish have any pork in it? Does this dish, you know, like refried beans in a Mexican restaurant? I have to ask them, well, do you use lard in your refried beans? Now, I can remember 10 years ago when you walked into a Mexican restaurant, about 90% of the time, the store, the restaurant would be using refried beans with lard in them. And I can remember the old El Paso brand always was made with lard. Did you know that old El Paso, they don't make it with lard anymore? And that's just real special. And now when I go into a Mexican restaurant, I almost always ask them, you know, just out of habit, you know, I said, do you have any refried beans, you know, with lard in them? And they look at you, oh, no, it's all vegetable oil, sir. Oh, okay. It's probably hydrogenated vegetable oil, but I say that's probably a little better than lard and probably a little better than irradiated and you know, so on down the line. Probably what you're eating in there ain't fit to eat anyway, but, you know, we kind of like to kid ourselves into thinking, well, it's better than the other stuff. It's not the best, but it's better than. That's the way we see that. Hey, let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point, and we'll be back with more on this labeling story on irradiated foods when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're also heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archive. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. I just mentioned here before we took our break that old El Paso, for instance, is now making their refried beans without lard. That's important to Jews and Muslims, because Jews and Muslims don't want to eat pig. They don't want to eat pork or pork products. And so for that reason, they look for the K, that kosher symbol that's on the package. And that's why we look for the organic label on the package. So anytime you can find organic, and keep in mind that bigger and bigger displays and more space in supermarkets is being devoted to the organic trade and the organic business. So as you go into your supermarket and you ask for, you know, like people evidently, great numbers of people must have been asking, the Mexican restaurants, do you have lard in your refried beans? Now, Mexicans typically are Catholics. Catholics eat pig. Jews don't. Muslims don't. And we represent a pretty good size number of people in the scope of business. And because of that, people that are interested in not eating pork, I don't include myself as a Jew, but I just don't eat pork either. I'm not a Muslim, but I don't eat pig. And there's a pretty good size portion of the population that don't want to eat pig. And evidently, the old El Paso company got wind of the fact that, hey, there's a lot of people that don't want to eat our product. And the Mexican restaurants probably said, hey, listen, you know, we're buying our refried beans. Give us the refried beans that don't have lard in them. And pretty soon they get less and less call for lard and more call for, just like we see today, there's more and more call for organic. And the market is growing by 20% a year. So keep it up and stick with organic. And tell the grocer, tell the guy, do you have organic and where is it? Oh, you don't have organic. Well, then I don't want to buy this. And you can rest assured he'll say, you know, that there was this crazy woman came in here the other day and she said organic. What is organic anyway? He might not even know what the word means. And pretty soon the word gets to flashing around into management. And they say, listen, these people don't want irradiated. They want organic. And they're asking, is it irradiated? And when I tell them I don't know, they don't buy it. We've got to have non-irradiated. Pretty soon they'll have a sign up there that says, our produce is not irradiated. You know, that'll be a step in the right direction. Now, of course, if there's not much complaint, and you got to keep in mind that 88% of the buying public out there couldn't care less. They're not concerned about organic. They're not concerned about irradiated. But that 36 million represents a pretty sizable chunk of people. So if one person out of every 10 comes in and says, hey, is this irradiated? Oh, it is. I don't want it. Pretty soon they'll say, hey, wait a minute, we're losing a pretty sizable chunk of the market here. That's why the big companies are starting to get into organics now. All right, now the OCA's recommendation for labeling, that's a permanent labeling, no expiration. Prominent labeling that is readable to all consumers. Retain mandatory use of the Redura, no misleading terminology, and labels that reflect the vitamin loss in fresh foods caused by irradiation. Well, now let's stop and think about this for a minute. Let's suppose that you're a marketer. You're running the local Walmart store. Do you want to put a sign up over your apples over here that says, these apples have been irradiated and the vitamin A content has been depreciated by 25%? That's a negative. And in sales, we don't want to present negatives to the customer. We want to present positives to the customer. I mean, hell, anybody in sales knows that. So we do not want to tell you the truth about what we're doing to this food. No, we want to extend the shelf life. That's what the real bottom line is. I mentioned that to you, I think, a couple days ago. Strawberries have a very short shelf life. If we can irradiate the strawberries and make them appear to be good for one more day, just 24 hours, it makes a big difference in the number of strawberries that we can sell and get our money out of and make a profit on, and those that we have to throw out into the dumpster. That's why the Jewish traders always preferred hard goods, you know, like Levi's over strawberries. Let the goy sell the strawberries and let's us sell the Levi's. That's because if I don't sell my Levi's today, I can sell them tomorrow, next week, or next month. But if I get stuck with this truckload of strawberries over here, you know, I get burned. I'll lose my money. So tuck that one away in your heart. The objective here is to beguile you. It is to suck you in. Now, the following excerpt is from the book Food Irradiation, Who Needs It? Here's a quotation. Listen to this. The idea of irradiating food is not new. We have had nearly 70 years of experimentation with this thing called irradiated and irradiated food. The treatment was tested on strawberries in Sweden in 1916. The first patents on the idea were taken out in the United States in 1921 and in France in 1930. Very little progress was made, however, until 1953 when President Eisenhower announced the Adams for Peace program. Public attention was to be shifted away from nuclear weapons by the promotion of nuclear power and other uses of nuclear technology so that the academic and industrial infrastructure could be developed behind which the weapons programs could continue, but with less notice. There followed a decade of intensive research into food irradiation funded and supervised by the United States Department of Defense. The United States Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act of 1958 defined the irradiation process as an additive. Users have to petition the Food and Drug Administration for permission to market irradiated products. This then has resulted in stringent requirements for testing of irradiated foods in the United States. Not until 1963 was clearance given for sterilization of can-packed bacon and the inhibition of potato sprouting and wheat disinfestation already in use elsewhere. The FDA, however, rescinded the bacon approval in 1968, citing possible health problems with the test animals and deficiencies in the way some experiments were designed and conducted. So let's just kind of recapitulate. 1963, the FDA said, yeah, it's all right to irradiate bacon, canned bacon. 1968, they had to rescind it because in animal tests it killed too many animals. Now, what do you think that irradiated bacon is doing to you? I don't know what the test results on the animals were, whether it was the trichinosis that was getting them or whether it caused cancer in laboratory rats or what the problem was, but there was some problem that they discontinued it. Now, you know, when government discontinues something, it's killing people. They didn't discontinue Vioxx until it was killing people. They didn't discontinue that drug, what was it, back in 1958, thalidomide, until it caused birth defects. They put these products, I don't know about the rest of the world, though. Maybe the rest of you people out there in the world are living in the land of Oz and we don't know it. But here in the United States, We used to be careful and we had laboratory experiments. And I don't know if PETA or somebody got after them, and they've pretty much given up on laboratory experiments, you know, experiments on animals. Because we're so concerned about dogs and cats and monkeys and rats that we'd rather just put the product out in the market and experiment on people. And that's what they do. They put the product out there, and then they test it, you know, for 10, 20, they monitor it. They keep track of it like Vioxx. They watched, and after a few years, they said, Jesus, killing too many people. I guess we'll have to quit. Thalidomide was that way. They didn't have any tests. They just put it out on the market. Say, this looks like a pretty good tranquilizer test. Let's put it out there. And then it caused all these birth defects and said, oh, I guess maybe we better stop doing that. So tuck that one away in your heart. Here in America, we are the guinea pigs. We, the public, eating the foods and taking the drugs, we're the guinea pigs. We used to experiment on animals, but then I guess that got to be objectionable, and so we don't want to harm dogs and cats, so let's harm people instead. I guess that makes all the sense in the world. It's just that I don't want to be one of those experiments. I'll let you do it, and let me watch and see what happens to you. Well, in the 1980s, the U.S. Department of Defense saw irradiation as a way to privatize nuclear materials. At the same time, deregulation of the meat and poultry industry resulted in outbreaks of food poisoning and product recalls. The status quo method of food irradiation was simply becoming too expensive. Irradiation provided a means to clean up the product of high-speed slaughter and decreased meat and poultry inspection. In November of 1997, Congress passed the FDA Modernization Act. Hidden in this large bill were two provisions concerning irradiated foods. The first provision told the FDA, which Congress oversees, that the labels required for packaged irradiated foods did not need to be any larger than the typeface on the ingredient label, and the second told the FDA to revise the current labeling requirement because labels were scaring consumers from buying irradiated foods. Okay. Yeah, I'm scared, and I want to tell you right coming right out of the chute. Yeah, I'm terrified of irradiated foods. I don't want it. And I'm probably stupid and dumb, and I'm probably ignorant and uninformed and all of that. And I don't deny it. I'm probably all of the above. If you want to sell irradiated foods, put a great big label on there and tell me how good it is, would you? Just like we put this great big label on here that says organic. I'm not scared of organic, and evidently the rest of the buying public isn't scared by organic. Or maybe they don't really care one way or the other, but the people that are producing organic foods put it on the package in great big bold letters. They're not ashamed of that product at all, and it doesn't scare their customers away. But irradiated scares me away. I don't want to buy irradiated products. You got that, boys? I don't want to buy it. So if you want to irradiate your products, get after it. Don't let me get in the way of the happiness and success of all of you good folks out there that want to buy irradiated products and all of you good folks out there that want to sell irradiated products. But if you want to sell it to me, you better put a big sign on there that says, this product is not irradiated. That's your first step. Then put a second sign that says, this product contains no genetically modified organisms. That's a second big step in the right direction. Now put your product out there next to the product that says organic, and I'll buy the organic every time, and your product will sit there and breed worms. So, I mean, if you want to compete in the marketplace with the best food that money can buy, that's organic, non-GMO, and non-irradiated, let's get after it, boys. And that's what I produce on my farm, and that's what I sell to my customers. And the people I sell to are thrilled with it. And I can proudly say that when you buy a piece of meat from me, it's not irradiated, and it's never had any bypass protein fed to the cows or the sheep. And there's no genetically modified feed that's ever been fed to these animals either. That's why I don't feed corn anymore. You know, corn's actually a better feed than oats and barley. And so somebody got in there, and they got about 60% of the corn crop in America. And I went down to my local feed dealer, and I says, hey, can you get me open-pollinated corn? He says, no. I said, oh, okay. Well, then that means that I won't be buying any more corn from you, Bob. Got that? So the rest of the farmers around here, they don't care, so they feed the GMO corn to their animals, but I don't feed it to mine. And, of course, most of the people, 88%, don't care what they put in their mouths anyway, so it's not really relevant. But the 12%, you 36 million people out there that are concerned about that, you can rely on George Gordon, and the food that I produce over here is being non-GMO, non-irradiated, and it's organic with no bypass protein. In November of 1997, Congress passed the FDA Modernization Act. Now, listen, we're all in favor of modernization, aren't we? This is the Modernization Act. Now, anytime Congress enacts a piece of legislation, they always put a real nice name on it, don't they? The Patriot Act. They don't want to put on there the Slave Act, the Constitution Destruction Act. No, they put the Patriot Act on there. And that's what Congress did, the FDA Modernization Act. Not the Degenerative Act or the Degeneration Act or the Hidden Irradiation Act. They don't want to put something negative in there. They put something positive. Then they put the negatives down in the fine print. Remember, that first provision told the FDA that the labels required for the packaged irradiated food did not need to be any larger than the typeface on the ingredient label. Well, the ingredient label over there is very tiny print. You ever notice it? You almost have to have a 10-power loop, you know, when you go shopping so you can read the ingredient list. That's because they don't want you to know what the hell's in the ingredients. They don't want you to know about the monosodium glutamate and hydrogenated vegetable oil and so on. Now, the congressmen responsible for pushing the labeling change are these friends of the factory farming industry. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky. Representative Greg Gansky, Republican of Iowa. And Senator James Jeffords, Republican of Vermont. And Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa, a vocal advocate of irradiation. Now, I'm not opposed to Senator Harkin being a vocal advocate of irradiation. What I'm opposed to is their attempt to hide the irradiation so that they can trick or beguile me into buying their product. That's what really rankles me. Senator Harkin, if you're in favor of irradiation, God bless you. I'll love you for it. Let me help you in any way I can. Just put a great big label on your package that says, approved by Senator Harkin, the champion advocate of irradiation and irradiated products for the health, safety, and welfare of the American public. Would you do that for me, Senator? Put a great big label on there so that an old man with poor eyesight can't miss it, so that I can avoid that crap. Would you please do that for me? And then 88% of the people that don't care or who want to buy the irradiated products can just get out there and get after it. And then us uninformed nitwits, us dummies over here without degrees after our names, the people who are stupid, foolish, nonsensical, not modern, archaic, anachronic, can buy the crap that we want to buy, and you can buy the crap that you want to buy, and we'll all be happy. In February of 1999, the FDA submitted its advance notice of proposed rulemaking for the first round of public comments, and it asked for surveys to find out if labels scare people and for suggestions on how to write a label so it doesn't cause consumers inappropriate anxiety. That's political doublespeak for how do we lie to these people and keep them from knowing the truth? We don't want these people to know what the hell we're telling them. Boys and girls, the reason that we use the words cold pasteurization is so that we can deceive you. If we didn't want to deceive you, we would put irradiated on there. Well, there isn't anything wrong with irradiated. You know, I've told you so far, here's what my objections are. Here's what the objections to other people are, other uninformed, nonsensical health food screwballs. We told you this is what our objections are. So would it be all right with the majority of you people out there, the 88% of you enlightened people who are knowledgeable with letters after your name, smart people who know better than all the rest of us dummies out here, would you just put irradiated on the damn package so that we can avoid it? Would that be all right? And the majority of you people out there can buy irradiated, cold pasteurized, electronic beam processed, salmonella destroyed or treated. I mean, listen, if that's what you want, I don't want to get in your way. I don't think that a minority of 12% of the population should get in the way in the happiness and success of 88% that are in the majority. But my God, would you majority people out there just be even-handed about it? Just be fair. Just be even-handed. We put great big labels that say organic on our products so that you people can be scared away, so that you people can avoid this crap that we eat. All we're asking is that you do the same thing. We're not deceiving you when we put organic on that label, are we? Does that scare the hell out of you? Does it make you say, well, gee, let's put organic down here in very tiny letters so that nobody can read it? Let's disguise organic. Let's put some other label or name on there so that it doesn't scare the consuming public. Let's hide kosher, shall we? The original deadline of May of 1999 was extended to July of 1999 after a public outcry. The FDA received a total of approximately 10,000 comments addressing the labeling aspect, the labeling issue, and 19,000 petition signatures opposing food irradiation. Over 99% were in favor of continued labeling and consumers' right to know. Many people expressed outrage at the condescending language used by Congress to describe their opposition to this technology. Condescending language, like you people are uninformed. Kind of reminds me of vaccinations. You know, the only people that are opposed to vaccinations are the people who are totally informed about vaccination. The people that subscribe to and practice and submit to vaccination are the people that have never read an article, don't know jack squat about it, and couldn't care less and don't want to find out. On February the 22nd, 2000, the USDA allowed meat producers to begin selling shipping irradiated products. A number of beef and chicken packers have begun planning to sell irradiated products primarily to food service. And the rollout began in late spring and summer of 2000. So this has been going on for 5 years. I mean, it isn't something that's brand new. I've reported on this irradiation a time or two in the past, and I'll probably do it a time or two in the future, you know, do it maybe once a year or something like that, and say, hey, boys and girls, have you learned your lesson now about irradiated food? Now, one of these days, you know, you're going to come up with a lump in your breast, ladies, and when you do, you know, there's a solution to your problem. There's a cause that made that breast come up in, or that lump come up in your breast, and there is a solution to that problem. And I don't think it's more irradiated food. Honest to God, I don't think more irradiation is going to help you. Here's what you can do to preserve labeling. Sign up to be contacted when the FDA issues its comprehensive policy on labeling of irradiated foods. We will be organizing public comments to the FDA, okay? Now, did you sign up to be contacted when the FDA issues its comprehensive policy on labeling of irradiated foods? Hell, you probably didn't know anything about it, wouldn't know how to sign up if I sent you a stamped self-addressed envelope. You know what I mean? So instead of being concerned about the other 88% and the labeling of the products, you know, I don't have any problems here. I'm not complaining about this irradiated food. I don't buy it. I avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. It's not a problem to me. When I go into the store, I'm alerted to the fact that when I go to the deli, that I probably can't buy anything in this deli that isn't irradiated. That's probably number one. Number two, if it's in the delicatessen, it probably isn't fit to eat anyway. And as I go through the supermarket over here, I keep saying to myself, is there anything in here fit for human consumption? Is there anything in here that I wouldn't have second thoughts about feeding to my dog? There are some things that you can buy in a supermarket that a dog won't eat. Did you know that? You throw it down on the ground, the dog won't eat it. I'll guarantee you this, there's certain things that cows won't eat. Now, if you put open pollinated corn out in front of a cow, and you put GMO corn in another bucket next to it, and then turn the cow in there, that cow will eat that open pollinated corn every time first. Every time. A cow can tell the difference between the two. Now, they'll eat the GMO corn. If that's all they got, that's what they'll eat. But that isn't because they like it. That isn't because it's the better stuff for them. Now, a dog isn't very discriminating. A dog will eat just about anything. A dog will eat rotten meat. But a dog won't eat meat that's got poison in it. And then you throw out a piece of meat out there that comes out of the deli, you know, that's gone bad on you, and it's filled with sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate, he won't eat it. Isn't that just special? Dogs are smarter than people. You have better noses. All right, there's the labeling story. We'll be back tomorrow with more on this thing of irradiated food and pasteurization and all the rest that goes with it next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. You've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.